in the ceiling.
There we go.
Thank you. Okay, Chairman Brad Fulton, I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 10 o'clock agenda item for the commissioners to meet with Dirk Mindev.
Mindive, you can pronounce it.
I got it, sorry, my mistake. From Congressman Rush Flusher's office. My tongue is tied all morning long.
Russ Fulter.
Russ.
I didn't even know him.
Yeah.
Shook his hand.
You're trying to have us figure out how to, you're accenting your syllables this morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Must have woke up in a foreign country.
I guess. Well, it, you know, it kind of makes it fun for us. We can't figure out what you're saying on a good day, so.
Highly successful, aren't we?
Yeah, you are, yeah.
We welcome you. So you have an opening comment or you're here to stand for questions or what would you like to do?
Well, thank you, commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Yes, for the record, my name is Dirk Mindev, or if I take the Basque pronunciation, it would be Mindive.
There you go. See, that's what I was attempting.
Yeah, good job, Chairman. Way to go.
But with Congressman Fulcher's office, I am his district director out of the Meridian office. So I run his operations here in Southwest Idaho. So appreciate the opportunity to connect with you guys today. Just a couple things. Just wanted to touch base, see what's going on in Canyon County, to just share some of the stuff that the Congressman's office has either been involved with or been working on in Canyon County of late. And then to really just to hear from the commissioners to try and understand what you guys are dealing with and if there's anything of a federal nature that we could be of assistance with. So I think with that, just a couple things I wanted to touch on that I know that the Congressman's office has been involved in. I'm sure you're all aware of the situation with the National Flood Insurance Program and where the county was on probation for some time. I know the Congressman's office, we had, were a part of that, monitored that with FEMA for, it seems like that went on for a couple years. But mm-hmm. So I just want to say we're very grateful to see that you guys are no longer on probation and that that has finally been resolved from the Congressman's office. It seemed rather ridiculous that the county was on probation under the considering the situation. But if there's any issues like that going forward, please be sure to reach out, let us know. Happy to help to what degree we can. We're just thankful that it seems to be resolved and that things are good. So if there's any other challenges there, please don't hesitate to reach out. So I know that is something that's been something the Congressman's office has been dealing with or watching for the last few years. A couple other things just in the area of Canyon County that have come up recently, and I don't know if this is necessarily on your guys' radar or if it's more just at the city level. I know we've had meetings with the Caldwell Airport and just concerns about safety and just the role of Caldwell and the airport there, of how many planes and how much traffic they receive, and yet it's kind of the Wild West there from my understanding. So I'm not sure if that comes up to the commissioners at all, and I just bring that up because I know it's an issue here that they are here in Canyon County. Another issue, and I don't know if this is on your radar, but the Congressman's office has had a couple different times opportunities to interact with the Nampa Family Justice Center. And I know for the Congressman's office, I know the Justice Center is concerned about the loss of grant funding potentially and what's happening with this administration. So the Congressman's office is attempting to try and help and find answers for the Justice Center where we can. I know that that's more a part of the city of Nampa, but obviously still also part of Canyon County. So just wanted to highlight that as some of the work here that we're doing in Canyon County. And then actually just met with the city of Middleton yesterday over issues of stormwater permits that you might be aware. Whereas the city says that because in under previous censuses, they were kind of looped in with Caldwell just as an urbanized area. So then they are required to have a stormwater permit, but now that criteria has changed. And EPA says, well, since you've had this in the past, you still have to have it now. And they're saying, well, if you look at the other cities in Idaho of similar size, we're the only one required to have this. And so that is an issue that the Congressman's office is looking to deal with EPA and DEQ to see if we can try and help the city of Middleton, as I know they're concerned that if they have to proceed with these permits, that the potential costs to their residents and just to the city would be quite drastic. So those are a couple of things. I also know trying to work with the Nampa PD with some issues with the Army Corps and some of their property in Canyon County that has to do with the Nampa Ron Gun Club. And I think overall that's kind of the main issues of late that I've been addressing or dealing with in Canyon County. I would love to hear kind of what's happening from you guys. And if you have any questions, issues you guys would like to discuss, I would just say, you know, as other a part of the opening comment, just in regard to what's happening in DC, I'm sure everybody has been watching that. And just there has been a lot that's going on. Currently, you may be aware, but the Congress is on the recess for the Easter break. They will go back into session next week. The expectation is that once Congress returns to D.C., that the focus will all be on reconciliation. I know the president would like to get one big, beautiful bill passed, and that the hope is that that will be done by Memorial Day. So we've got roughly a month to do that. Of course, under the reconciliation process, only certain criteria can be included as far as the bills into what can be passed under reconciliation. So the expectation is that once Congress gets back in session next week, especially on the House side, I can't speak for the Senate, but the various committees will be trying to put legislation and to package things together of things they think they can pass under reconciliation that would be in line with the president's agenda. We do not know what that will look like. We hear from many constituents concerned about whether it's Social Security or Medicaid or just various cuts and what the president may do. That is something that we will be monitoring very closely. But I would just mention that to you just to have a little idea of what is probably going to be taking the focus of Congress for the next few weeks. And if it all is successful, then possibly we'll have a reconciliation package passed by Memorial Day. However, we cannot tell you what could or could not be in that. It's very fluid back there. And I think with that, reconciliation is kind of the big thing. Just a couple other points that I would touch on as far as from what's happened since the new administration has been there. I'm sure everyone has heard of Doge and just the work of Elon Musk and what they're doing. They, as of earlier this week, the estimate was that Doge has saved the taxpayers roughly $160 billion is the estimate, which works out to about $994 per taxpayer. So they're doing work. Hopefully that will be seen, you know, going forward on the work they've done and kind of eliminating some of that waste and bringing savings back to the taxpayer. The other thing that they're really focused on, and this is all a part of the reconciliation process, is to try and extend the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and that's really one of the main priorities of the president. And if they extend that provision, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, through 2035, it's projected to prevent an average tax increase of about $1,650. So right now, just by extending that, it would save people close to $1,700. If it expires, then on top of inflation and some of these other demands that people are dealing with, they would also be looking at a much higher tax burden from the federal government. So that is one of the main focuses that the Congress is working on currently through reconciliation to try and promote and advance the president's agenda. And I think with that, those are really the kind of the comments and just an update. And would love to hear kind of from Canyon County what issues you guys are hearing about and if there's anything that the Congressman's office might be able to assist with.
Chairman, I do have a question. I had a chance to visit a couple minutes before Dirk was on the air with us, but I have questions about Congressman Fulcher's, some of the legislation that he's supporting. One of them is the dismantling of the Federal Department of Education and returning, I guess, the responsibility for educating the population back to the states. How does that work, or what does that look like in terms of funding? So if people are depending on Pell Grants or student loans and those go away, where the budget, like for Idaho, their legislative session is over, how do they propose to have a transition period? What does that look like? What's the breakdown and the numbers?
Chairman, Commissioner, thank you for the question. Yes, my boss is on legislation that would dismantle the Department of Education. I know the president has come forward, and that is one of his priorities to do so. I know my boss views education as being a state and a local issue, and that the Department of Education is really a unnecessary cost to the taxpayer, especially when you look at all the bureaucracy and just the waste there at the federal level. My understanding, and I will have to follow up with you and happy to do so, as far as the timeline and how that would exactly work if the department is indeed abolished, that a lot of those grants would remain. They would not go away with the Department of Education. They would just be more direct to the states. So instead of going through a, you know, the Department of Education that is that, and this is where I don't know the specifics of if that goes through a specific office or who would handle those grants. But my understanding has always been from the Trump administration and also through the legislation that we get through rid of the bureaucracy of the Department of Education, but that there would just be a more direct path for the money to come directly.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be doing away with those grants. It wouldn't be doing away with the money that the states, especially like the state of Idaho, is using to benefit students in education. However, it would hopefully eliminate a lot of that bureaucracy and waste. And I will say that, you know, in talking or of having, you know, at least some casual conversations with, you know, the State Department of Education, that they've said if the Department of Education goes, we'll be just fine. It's, you know, as long as those grants and that money there is still available to come to the states. And our understanding and our expectation and support would be that that would be the case.
Okay. Thanks. Great feedback for that for people wanting to pursue higher education. Yeah. Chairman, I have another question. I wanted Dirk to comment on the other legislation that made the news here a couple of years ago with Mike Simpson wanting to remove the dams on the lower Snake River. So that is that swinging back the other direction where that's not as popular right now? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Van Beek, I appreciate that question. It's very fluid. It does seem that with this administration, things are more favorable to keep those dams. As you may be aware, under the previous administration, they had closed door meetings with what they referred to as the six sovereigns, which included some of the Native American tribes and a couple states, such as Washington and Oregon. But places like Idaho were shut out of those negotiations. And so the previous administration had pursued action to address those four lower Snake River dams without including all the stakeholders, all the impacted parties, and then they tried to advance something that they wanted to work. Now with the new administration there, we're under a different, obviously a different president who has perhaps a different view than the previous administration. And so it does seem like we are in a more stable place to not see certain behind the scenes negotiations, excuse me, like what happened under the previous administration. So we are hopeful that we're in a better place. We do know that only Congress can actually eliminate and remove those dams. It has to be an act of Congress. My boss is currently on legislation that would protect those dams. And we have taken several legislative actions on different legislation or different pieces of legislation to ensure that those dams are protected, that money can't go to study even the removal of those dams. However, there is still a push to try and get rid of them. There are still those who believe that it's only in eliminating those four dams to save salmon. There's a lot of different conversation on that. And without getting into all that topic, to answer your question, the congressman very much supports keeping those dams. And I think that at least for the near future under this administration, they seem to be in a safer place. However, just as we've seen change in administration from the previous administration to now, if that were to happen in a couple years, then we could go right back in the other direction. So it's very fluid, but I know that as long as my boss is there, that he will fight to save those dams.
Yeah, and I know that there's interest groups here because of the farming emphasis that they have to have that water from the dams in order to continue to make that forward. So I had one more question, Chairman, and it relates to the family-owned farms. Is that just a transfer down with no exchange of dollars on that, or how does that work?
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Van Meek. I believe you're referring to the legislation that would reduce and eliminate kind of that tax burden.
So mm-hmm.
Farm in the family, and then when someone passes, that they don't get hit with additional taxes just for that inheritance tax. And my understanding, and I will follow up on this for you to ensure I'm clear on it, but my understanding would be more so that as an inheritance, as it passes down, it would just eliminate that tax. So
Okay. If
you have a family farm, they've paid taxes on that throughout the entire existence and, you know, throughout the family history. And so all of a sudden, just simply because they, you know, maybe the owners or the parents have passed, and now that's getting passed down, it just seems really just wrong for them to pay additional tax. And then, as I'm sure you're aware, in some cases, the farm can be valued at such a high cost or a high value that really it's not liquid, it's all just tied up in the property or wherever it may be, and that for those who would be inheriting the farm, that they would have to sell simply just to try and pay the taxes on the inheritance.
Right, yeah, and I had heard chatter from the financial community that the federal government was looking at reducing, protecting the capital gains portion of that from $13.9 million down to, you know, if it's a married joint community asset, then they would get $7 million each. And so where do you see that legislation going? At right now, I think it's different than that.
excuse me. Yes, and I appreciate the follow-up. Let me look into that.
Okay.
I know this is something where under reconciliation, where you have certain aspects to tax and budget that certain legislation could get bundled into a reconciliation package. I don't know if that will happen. As far as to your question, you know, where there could be different provisions compared to what you're hearing from other sources, I would have to look into that and see exactly
what,
you know,
yeah. There
are different ideas of what should happen there.
Right.
My boss, on the principle of it, that we should not be in taxing these farms, you know, for an inheritance tax.
And I totally agree with that because if you don't, like, say you have a single person, the tax burden on that is about 40%, which is crazy, where they've paid taxes on that forever. So thanks for the great follow-up and allowing me to pose those questions, Chairman.
Thank you.
So I'd like to just voice my utter contempt for the EPA to do what they're doing to Middleton. It had been that stormwater was, the trigger was 50,000 people in the city. Middleton is not even close to 10,000 yet. And the EPA, in conjunction, as I understand it, I could be wrong, I often am, EPA of Idaho has joined with them in going after Middleton for stormwater. To me, it violates the Chevron ruling. They are creating their own dadgum statute without having gone through Congress, and this means the absolute lifeblood of that city. There is no way that they have the population base to put in from scratch a stormwater collection system and treatment. So it infuriates me that they can make up a rule. So where do they stop? I mean, Idaho is basically close to 180 tiny communities, Middleton size or smaller. So we need help. with those, with that federal agency. And they need to, pardon me, they need to be spanked for even attempting to do this. This is theft through unelected bureaucrats that just want to empower themselves. In the scope of the reality of the water, their argument is unattainable to be argued, their point, because the solution is through dilution, and they, it's just, anyway, it infuriates me. So if we could get congressman's help, we desperately need it, because Middleton's just a postage stamp compared to the rest of the United States. And they're coming down on them, because I'm a mayor, and I've had the same thing happen to me. I've been on the phone calls back to Washington, D.C., and they literally said, Mayor, the financial concern of your citizens is not our concern. Point blank. That was from one of the deputy directors of the EPA. So if that is from the top down reasoning, there has to be common sense in there somewhere. Everybody likes clean air, everybody likes clean water, but let's make it attainable. So please help. I would appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate those comments, and the Congressman's office agrees. What Middleton is being asked to do, it doesn't make any sense, especially when you compare it to other similar-sized cities in Idaho. I agree with you. I know the Congressman's office. We will do what we can to help. We do plan to reach out to DEQ. Already have meetings in place before I even knew about this with EPA. So we'll be talking with the Idaho APA office here in the next couple weeks. And I can tell you that the new EPA Region 10 Administrator out of Seattle, I've yet to have a chance to meet her, but believe that I'll be able to attend a meeting with her next month. So the hope being that if need be, if this is not resolved or if we can't get a positive answer, can bring it to her next month. And my understanding being that she may be more favorable to these types of concerns. I can't speak for EPA or what they may do, but our hope is with the Congressman's office that we can bring this to EPA, and like you say, that maybe a little common sense can prevail. But we will see. The Congressman's office will do what we can. So
I'll put this on the record. It just fascinates me that this EPA person sitting out in Seattle sits in a city that the downtown area has feces being washed down into the gutter down near the sound. Same way with the city of Portland. And they want to look the opposite direction and not do anything and then come into the state of Idaho and stomp all over on the city of Middleton. Why don't they take care of their own neighborhood first before being more righteous than anybody else and coming and sitting on us? And it's because we don't have the willpower and we're of the wrong political persuasion. And that goes clear into the lawfare that's happening now in other instances. There's getting to be this two-tiered system. And again, I like clean air and I like clean water, but less appropriate. Let's do it fairly.
No. Commissioner, I appreciate your comments. We agree. I do. My understanding being in that is that the new administrator under this administration, a complete different perspective than the prior administration. And so we're hopeful that can work with her and try and find a good solution for the people, and the residents of Middleton. But, anything that you have going forward, any comments, any thoughts, any counsel on how we might be able to help best, or any insight, please share, because we do want to see a good outcome for the city of Middleton.
Great, appreciate that. Other comments, questions?
The only thing I guess I'm going to be watching Congress, on the reconciliation. If DOGE has shut down all of these things, my math is quite a bit, and I remember the time that the Obama administration put out the numbers could be wrong, but it was somewhere between 5 billion and 7 billion in wastewater. And that amount of money literally trickled down to the beautiful city of Greenland in Idaho. So if, let's say, somewhere under $7 billion can change the landscape in Idaho, what can 500 billion, what can close to $1 trillion? So in the reconciliation, I'm hoping that they do lower the budget, but I'm also hoping instead of sending it to USAID and all of the other things that were siphoning off money and coming back into the pockets of the wrong political party, in my humble opinion, that they would actually make it to the infrastructure needs of America and change their quality of life and help out and help and save the issues. It wouldn't take much. Again, that whatever it was, less than $7 billion, made it to Greenland. So let's see what we can do.
No, excuse me, and I appreciate that, Commissioner. I do know that for the president, this reconciliation will be the primary focus of his domestic agenda. I know one issue that didn't bring up, I don't know if you're hearing about this from your constituents, is on tariffs. I can tell you that for the Congressman's office, we've heard from a lot of different people. He even met with Fresca Mexican Foods yesterday, and they're very concerned about the tariffs, and I understand why. All that to say is that I know for the president, as we're trying to cut waste and cut the size of the federal government and save money to the taxpayer, like you say, if we can funnel that money back to where it could be, where it should be, it can bring a lot of benefit right here at home. And I know that's the president's objective. And I believe that even with some of his international trade policy and some of the approach he's taken, that he's really focused on this reconciliation package to try and put forth policy that would be beneficial to the U.S. and to the American taxpayer so that we can move forward and instead of, seeing all this money go overseas to who knows what, that we're getting benefit back here in our own country. So I understand your concern and your position there. And I know for my boss, he will be working to try and see as best as we can a good product there that will be beneficial.
I just want to say thank you. I met Dirk for about 7 years ago and when he came. And so I'm glad you're back. Thank you for the updates and we'll look forward to the follow-up.
Well, thank you, Commissioners. I appreciate the time again. I will follow up with you on some of your questions. And I would just say if there are any issues, that come before Canyon County, I do know we hear from different counties who have different issues. And I know the issues that Canyon County has is probably different than some of our rural counties and so forth. But if there's anything related to the federal government or anything that you think that we can help with, please don't hesitate to reach out. And likewise, if any constituent issues or anything as far as casework with Social Security, VA, whatever it may be, please reach out. We're here to help just down the road in Meridian City Hall. So if you need us, just give us a call. And with that, I very much appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I think the motion is to adjourn.
Second.
Second, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.